This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank from the Rubber Hallway at Everbank Field. It's week 15 in the National Football League. The Jaguars are getting ready for Sunday's trip to Baltimore to face the Baltimore Ravens. You're looking live inside the South Locker Room at Everbank Field, where Blake Bortles will speak with the media coming up. We'll carry that press conference live. The Jaguars are out on the practice field now doing a walkthrough. They'll come in. Bortles will speak. We'll carry it for you right here. Jaguars this week, moving into week 15, trying to get back on track after a tough loss a week ago. We'll hear from Luke Bewanko, Jaguars rookie center from the University of Virginia. He'll join us live on set coming up. And, of course, a lot of talk this week about those Baltimore Ravens. They are red hot in a number of different areas on that team, and they're poised and ready for a run in December. You can get in on the show at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier, and we welcome in John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. Well, trying to get back on track, first of all. The loss last week, another tale of two halves, and it seems that's been the story a lot this season.
Well, and it has, and I think the biggest reason is, again, it's the youth, it's the inexperience, it's the trying to build. And when you're doing that, it can be tough to put together two halves. And as tired as people are of that as an excuse or a reason, and the team doesn't want to use that as a reason, but that just feels like what it is. You have a good half, and then in the second half you come out. And again, against the Texans, you have a long drive that hurts you, and then you have an interception that hurts you just at the wrong time. And then you're staring at an uphill battle, and it gets away from you a little bit. So, again, it's not what you want, but it's what's happening right now. And it's got to get fixed. Three games left. Can it? I don't know.
For a young team, it's tough to find how to fix that. How do you find that?
Well, again, if you had some place offensively where you could find consistency, I think that would help a lot. You know, can you run? Can you throw? Do you know what you are? When a team gets in trouble, it looks for what it can rely on. Again, with the offense so young, with a quarterback who's not seeing everything yet the way a veteran does, with an offensive line that's not seeing everything the way that it will in a couple of years, you don't know what you do well yet. And then when you get in a crisis situation, it's tough to get out of it. When you need a drive, it's tough to get it because you don't know exactly what you can rely on. Again, things that people are tired of hearing, things that are still going on with the Jaguars right now.
Blake Bortles coming up shortly. We'll have that press conference for you live. How is he improved over the last week?
Well,
last game, and what does he need to do this week?
I think overall, the last few weeks, you can see improvement. You're not seeing as many interceptions as you did earlier in the season. You've seen more stretches last game against in the last drive against the Giants 2 weeks ago, and then in the first half of this game the other day, you saw stretches where you can see him getting back to the way he wants to play. I've used the phrase, he worked harder to play freer, and that sounds strange, but you could see it in his game where he's trying to get away from the rush, where he's making a conscious effort to get outside the pocket and to extend plays. That's what he likes doing. It's what he was doing early. So you're seeing more flashes of that. Mm-hmm. Last week I thought you saw it through most of the first half, and then you had the interception at the end of the third quarter that you just thought, boy, it erased every good feeling fans had. It shouldn't erase every good feeling he had, because when you went back and watched that game, the first half was good, and the first half was a calmer feeling. Even though he was running around, you felt like it was more in control for him. So those are the things you see. Unfortunately, it doesn't show up as a win, doesn't show up great in the stats by the end of the game, so it's hard to hold it, it's hard to grasp it.
Sure it is.
But I think for him, he should look at that first half and say, okay, let's see if I can extend that to make it three quarters this game or to make it a whole game. But there were positive things, even though they didn't get the win.
Well, he needs some time to stand back there, too. That's the other part of the equation. And I know on the postgame radio show on Sunday, a lot of the calls were about pass protection.
Right.
And the offensive line, and you know, they want heads to roll and faces to change. But
sure.
In looking back at it and talking to analysts and Buscelli and Logman and guys like that, the line in itself played okay in the game.
Well, and when you first heard that Monday, you sort of recoiled that.
You said,
how could you say that they played better? And yes, I went back, and I don't pretend to be able to see in the film what Logman and Buscelli see in the film, you know. But as you look at it, when they weren't blitzing, these guys didn't lose a lot of one-on-one matchups. And J.J. Watt really didn't dominate the game. He had plays that he was going to make. But overall, they didn't play poorly individually, but yet when teams blitz this team right now, it gives them a lot of trouble. Brian Cushing had a couple where he came free, so it gives that perception of him being under duress all the time, and he is under too much duress. Young quarterback, young interior linemen, young receivers who don't necessarily know exactly what to do in that first time they've seen a blitz, mm-hmm. that first time that they know Blake's in trouble in this way, that he wasn't in trouble 2 weeks ago this way, young running backs to learn how to pick up the blitz, all those combinations, I think, are making it look like this team just can't protect the passer. When it's blitzing, when there's pressure, it's having trouble with it, and that gives that perception. You would hope and you would think over time, how much time, but over time, that improves. But I think that's a huge issue right now for this team.
People want to know how long? How long until this improves?
Well, you know,
put a time frame on
it. I don't know that it's, you know, I would love to say it gets fixed Sunday. I don't know that this is a situation that gets fixed in a 3-game period at the end of the season to the point where people are going, yeah, great offensive line, let's go, you know. But when you watch it, I don't think there's going to be a massive turnover up front. I think it's going to be a case of let's see how we can get these guys in better position to do well.
Jaguars.com Live presented by EverBank. Blake Bortles press conference coming up once the players come off the practice field from the walkthrough. The locker room will be open to media a little later. You'll hear from players in the locker room later on Jaguars.com. Jed Fish and Bob Babbitt are scheduled to speak this afternoon, too. The pass rush, you know, the last couple of weeks, not last week, but the week before that and the couple of weeks prior, the Jaguars defense forced so many turnovers and fumbles and sacked the quarterback and really wreaked havoc on the opposing offense. But it just didn't happen last week as much. It seemed like they took a step off from what they had been doing.
Well, when you're not in passing situations, it's tough to rush the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And the Houston Texans with Arian Foster, they ran, I think the number was 40, 42 times. Well, when you run 42 times, that leaves a lot fewer passing plays.
Right.
And if you're running effectively, it means you're passing out of third and short or second and when you want to pass. So that was a big thing. They got two sacks early. They weren't the kind of dominant sacks that you expect. They were more fall downs, and Ryan Fitzpatrick ran around and they got a sack for 1 yard.
Right.
But they took that element away from the Jaguars. So you've got to stop the run, at least in situations, to get into passing situation, because it's rare to wreak havoc when you're counting on first and second down sacks. Mm-hmm. You can do it, and this team has done it better than you would expect them to be able to do it, but it's a tough road to hoe. And I think that is, again, when this team can't create fumbles, when it can't make you feel like it's chaotic for the other offense, which at times of season it has, Miami, Philadelphia, I mean, there's been points where they've looked really good in that way. When it doesn't, this team doesn't look like it has the offense to be able to win without that sort of defense. So you got to get back to it. And first thing is stopping the run. That's been a trouble issue the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, stopping the run includes making tackles when they're there. Mm-hmm. A handful of missed tackles in the game, too. Now, give Arian Foster credit.
Sure.
He's a good running back, too, and he can break some tackles and do some things. But like you said, when that pass rush is not available, you have to do it in other ways, force turnovers and wreak havoc in other ways, and that's make a tackle when you can, you know, punch the ball out when you can.
And that's why this matchup Sunday is really tough.
Yeah.
Because this is a team, the Baltimore Ravens, they're good, first of all, and they play very smart. They don't give up a lot of sacks. They don't turn the ball over a whole lot. They have a very good interior offensive line. They rush the passer well. All these things are things that translate into winning in December, and they also translate into things that the Jaguars want to win those battles. It's tough to win those battles against the Baltimore Ravens.
Let's talk about these Ravens a little bit more. The Jags and the Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore Sunday at 1 o'clock. It's the day after the Army-Navy game in Baltimore, by the way. But the Ravens are, like you said, poised for a run right now. They're a sustained success kind of franchise. Mm-hmm. Ozzie Newsom's put together a great organization there. I mean, really from top to bottom. And it's proven every year. They're always in the hunt, it seems like.
Well, they're as good as it gets. You talk about the Patriots and people out there, the Steelers, the Patriots, you know, all these franchises that are sustained winning. I'd argue this team is right up there with any of them. I wrote down some stats. 5 playoff appearances in 6 years, 3 AFC title games, two division titles, 70-39 under Harbaugh. And this is a team this year, they're playing without Jimmy Smith, Ray Rice, Dennis Pitta. You know, I mean, these are guys that contribute, and yet somehow they still keep playing their way. They have a great interior offensive line. They have a great pass rush. They know how to play the way they want to play, and that's a dangerous thing when you're playing a team that knows how they like to play. They believe in it. They've done it for a long time, and they're trying to get into the postseason, and you're on the road. Might be the toughest matchup for the Jaguars all year.
They got a quarterback playing at a very solid level, too, and kind of under the radar. You don't hear a lot about Joe Flacco on a national basis, but he's got the contract now.
Right.
He's their guy.
Well, he's kind of
he's
kind of the perfect fit for them. I mean, again, this is a franchise that believes in rushing the passer, believes in running, and they have a consistent quarterback who's not necessarily a headline guy. He's not going to be on that Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks that everybody likes to have right now with those top guys, but he's right there. He's won a Super Bowl. And John Harbaugh this week, and maybe rightly so, said he's playing quarterback about as well as you can play in the NFL right now. Harbaugh's not really a hyperbole guy in that way. He's playing well. And, again, it just makes this a very dangerous matchup because this team knows how it wants to play. They don't get in – they don't put themselves in bad situations where they're doing things they don't like to do. That's dangerous in December.
Jaguars.com Live presented by EverBank. The reporters are heading down to the South locker room. You'll be there shortly. We'll have Blake Bortles' comments coming up when they come off the practice field from walkthrough a little bit later. A lot of former Jaguars on this Ravens team, too. I mean, Monroe at tackle. Justin Forsett's over 1,000 yards for the year behind that great offensive line, by the way. And Darryl Smith still contributing on defense.
Well, and again, Darryl Smith, any Jaguars fan – who watched Darryl is on some level happy that he's doing well. I'm sure they wish he was doing well here, and that's one that after all these moves, last couple of seasons, you wouldn't mind having Darryl Smith on the team. So that's one that you'd like to have. But beyond that, these guys are performing well, and they're helping the Ravens win. I still don't really know how much Eugene Monroe, Justin Forsett, I don't know that they would be difference makers on this offense, but Darryl Smith you wouldn't mind having.
Yeah, that's the thing with the Ravens team. You lose Ray Rice, which was obviously a big deal at the time, but Forsett, who doesn't have a great track record of big success in the league, and certainly not here, comes in and rushes for 1,000 yards.
Very good fit, and again, when a team knows what it's doing offensively and when they have a dominant, powerful offensive line and they know what they're doing in the passing game, you can plug and play a lot of running backs. And credit to Justin for going in there and having a season that certainly he always felt he was capable of having. I don't know that you plug Justin Forsett into this offense, hear what he's doing, and have the same results. Often the running back is a result of what's going around him offensively and then playing well in what he's asked to do.
At what point, John, do the topics start looking to 2015 for the Jags team and the offseason?
Well, for a lot of fans in the ozone, like yesterday, right?
Like 2 weeks ago, right? And it's coming quick inside the building, too.
And I get why fans are talking about that. And I'm sure Dave Caldwell, the personnel staff, they have to be looking at that because it's their job to get ready for the Senior Bowl. It's their job during the season, whatever the record, to look ahead and figure out what's going on. The coaching staff and the players, though, you know, it's not their job to look ahead. It's their job to try to win now. It's the coaching staff's job, certainly, to put guys on the field right now who give them the best chance to win games. And you do hear the argument, well, why don't they play young guys? Why don't they play young guys and start getting ready? Well, I'd like to figure out on this roster where they're not playing young guys already.
That's right.
In some situations, when you have an older veteran team, then that approach and that argument among fans makes a lot of sense. On this, they're already playing the guys that they want to see. They're already playing Luke Buenco and Brandon Linder and Marquise Lee and these guys. So there's not a whole lot of guys out there that you're saying, well, why aren't they getting more playing time? Why aren't they getting more looks? Let's see what they can do. So far this season, we're seeing what those guys can do. That's been the storyline all season.
Jaguars.com Live presented by EverBank. Blake Bortles press conference coming up, I promise, shortly. We'll have it live for you right here on Jaguars.com when the Jags come off the practice field from walkthrough, and then open locker room coming up as well. Defensively for this team, you know, you look at the defensive line, obviously, a veteran group. The linebackers were shaken up a few weeks ago, but they seem to have found their starters on the second level there. And then at cornerback, you know, you feel like now with Colvin emerging mm-hmm. that you might have the corners of the future in McCray and Colvin and see where Gratz goes in that equation. You got to figure out maybe a safety situation if Cyprian right. can step up. But as a whole, how do you feel about this defense moving forward into the offseason, and how do you build around this unit?
Well, if we're looking at 2015, you know, and people always say, well, why wouldn't you just draft and sign every offensive player you could possibly mm-hmm. find? They feel like there's an awful lot of pieces there in place that just have to grow. On defense, there's a lot more veteran guys, so you want to have an influx of young guys. And somewhere on this team, you need more playmakers. I'd still be surprised if somewhere in the mix isn't a pass rusher. I think they try to get better at linebacker, try to get a little more solid there. A lot of talk for that in the offseason. You also think with the safety play, you would want to see a free safety at some point get in the mix who can help that group out back there. But we'll see. A long way to go before the Senior Bowl, right? But not as long as we think.
And I bet you we'll be in Mobile again. It doesn't matter if the Jags are there or not.
That's right.
From what I understand, by the way, it's come down to three teams to coach in the Senior Bowl, and I think the Jags are among the three
sure.
still alive for that. You know, I know helped inside the building they'd love to do sure. that again, for sure. So the players are coming in off the practice field from walkthrough.
That's about the rumbling we hear, JP.
behind us. Blake Bortles headed into the South locker room now to visit with the media. We'll carry it for you live right here on Jaguars.com.
Let's start with Brian Sexton today.
Hey, thanks very much.
Wow.
When did you see Marquise Lee start to come alive?
You know, I think you've always kind of been able to tell the talent he has, how explosive and fast and all the things he can do. But I think these past couple of weeks it's really shown up, you know, like a late slant against Indianapolis, catching that ball and almost taking it to the house. You know, there's been plays that have, you know, started to consistently show up where he's just making really good plays, and it's really given us, you know, kind of an opportunity and privilege that, you know, now we kind of got to get him the ball and let him, you know, go make plays.
You had Allen Robinson as something you could count on, then he gets hurt. Has Marquise filled that role?
Yeah, you know, he definitely has. It's given him an opportunity with Allen Robinson being out. It's given Marquise, you know, a chance for some more playing time and more action. And he's definitely stepped up and taken advantage of it. And, you know, I think he'll only continue to get more, you know, balls thrown his way.
Doomerville leads the league in sacks. How does he get those?
He's active. I mean, he's not a huge dude. He's, you know, 6'2", 250, 255. But I think he's just relentless. You know, he gets after it. And you know, he's got a motor that doesn't quit. So, I mean, he's fun to watch. He's fun to watch play. You know, he's kind of the opposite size-wise of J.J. Watt, but, you know, definitely an equivalent motor.
Blake, week in and week out, what's been the biggest challenge for you starting as a rookie?
You know, I think just, you know, kind of wiping the slate clean each week. You know, you watch the game, you go through the week, you prepare, then you go through the game, you turn the film on of the game after the game, and you learn as much as you can from it. The good, the bad, whatever, you try and take and learn, and then you wipe the slate clean and you start over preparing again. But you want to try and keep those things that you've learned, you know, in the memory bank and in your thoughts, so that you can carry those things over into the next game and not make the same mistakes.
Like, people always talk about consistency, but when you're seeing something new every week, which I'm sure you are, it's tough to find consistency, right?
Right. Yeah, it's been difficult, but I mean, it really comes down to execution. You know, we've kind of, you know, it's been the tale of two halves, you know, the past couple games, and that's, you know, it comes down to execution and not putting a full game together. You know, whether it's, you know, a lack of focus or whatever you want to call it, it just hasn't happened. So that's definitely what we're trying to focus on and make sure happens.
Did you like on Sunday in the first half, is that how you wanted to play? I mean, was that a comfortable pace, a comfortable approach?
Yeah, it felt really good. You know, I know our guys, you know, are very comfortable and fond of being, you know, in up-tempo and moving and getting to the line of scrimmage, and, you know, because you put a lot of stress on the defense when you get them running around and tired and you limit the calls they can get into. So I know that's, you know, part of who we are, and we enjoy it, and, you know, I definitely like it.
Do you think you've earned the right to be more of a vocal leader at this point in your rookie year?
You know, I don't know. I think I've been the same since I've been here. You know, I I try and positively motivate guys, try and keep guys, you know, we got a pretty good group of guys that don't need a whole lot of external motivation. You know, guys come to work every day and work their tail off, you know, so I try and be there and be that voice, you know, to give them some positive reinforcement and keep working. Let's do this and let's do that, and stay positive with it.
So there haven't been a lot of times where maybe you've wanted to say something but felt because you're a rookie, you can't go there yet?
Yeah, no, not at all. You know, I think, you know, I have a lot of trust in everybody in the locker room, and if there was anything that I ever felt I needed to say, you know, I would definitely say, you know, just as I feel that anybody in the locker room would. You know, if anybody in there had something to say, you know, I believe they'd stand up and say it and people would listen.
Follow up on Jesse.
There you have it, the comments of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles on a Wednesday, and we're joined now by his center, Luke Boyenko, is with us. Good to see you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
It's week 15, 3 weeks left. You know, there's a lot of fans looking towards next year, but inside this locker room, you can't. I mean, there's 3 weeks to go and a lot of football left to play this year.
Yeah, yeah. If we were looking forward to be, you know, just us missing an opportunity. So we got a good opportunity this weekend against a really good football team to, you know, prove what we're about, and we're excited about it.
Tell us about the protection for this team, because, you know, a lot of fans after the game last week said, oh, boy, the offensive line, you know, Bortles running around, getting sacked, this, that. But you look back at it, the line as a whole played pretty well in the game, but the protection overall is an issue. How do you balance that out, and how do you protect the quarterback better?
Yeah, I mean, that's a struggle when you're playing against, you know, players of the caliber that we're playing against. And, but, you know, it's something that we expect ourselves to do a good job of. And when we're moving the pocket and stuff like that, you don't expect to have breakdowns. And it's tough when you take sacks on those plays. But, you know, it's part of the game. And we got some good players on the edge this week. And, you know, it'll be a task to take care of them.
This is a unit that has been, boy, guys in and out of the lineup all year. Early, you were out. Now you're in. The pasture's out now on the right side. Guys coming and going. But has it been difficult to kind of bring everybody together with so many moving parts?
Yeah, no? I mean, that's always a struggle. But, you know, when you have that preseason where you get to work with everybody, and we did get a chance to, you know, rotate some guys in there and get a lot of different looks, it helps. It helps going along. And we're all a pretty close-knit group, so, you know, it's fun to work with each other.
Luke Boyenko is with us. Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. Establishing the running game, there were a few weeks there where you run the ball pretty well, but – you know, defenses adjust a little bit and bring an extra guy in. When you're facing eight in the box, it's tough to run the ball. But how do you get past that and just get through it? Or do you?
Yeah, I mean, we have some checks that, you know, designed to run away from the safeties that are coming down, and we've got to execute on those. And, you know, when you're not executing on first and second down, it's tough to get – you're putting yourself in difficult positions, and, you know, we got to throw the ball. But we expect ourselves to win and win early, and, you know, that's what we're hoping to do this weekend.
Luke, I know you're a big social media guy, right? Are you?
I've heard rumors.
What is the Twitter handle, by the way? What is it?
At Elbow70.
Okay. Follow him on Twitter. Let's go to some questions now. At Iowa City Crash. Thoughts on how well rugby players can transition to the NFL? Example, at @JaredHain_1. Do you know any of these folks?
Yeah, we have our one of our assistant strength coaches, Alex, is from Australia, and he talks all about this guy. I don't know. I mean, he's obviously a great athlete, probably a little undersized, but shoot, come in here with a work ethic and not be afraid to run into people. You know, he could be pretty successful.
You saw a little bit of that in England, right? Wasn't there some rugby guys that came by one day?
Yeah, they were out there punting and kicking with Scobie. They got some legs now, and they're pretty stocky guys. They look like, you know, a shorter version of a linebacker.
Let's continue on social media. At Kenny Isn't Funny, asking, everyone likes to blame the O-line, but you guys have improved a lot. What does it take to get better over a season and then beyond? We touched on this a moment ago, but what does it take over a 16-game schedule to come together?
Yeah, you really got to have tunnel vision, because obviously if we go back and watch, you know, the game week one, it's a completely different offensive line, and, you know, we're playing at a higher level. But you just got to be able to focus on each week and be able to upgrade your ability to play.
Here we go. This is at, I think there's 8B_6. How has the transition from youth phenom grinder on the ice transitioned to the National Football League?
I think that's a spam account. No. Hey, man, playing hockey growing up, it's great cross-training for you. And I advocate all kids to play different sports growing up, because it really does cross over and it helps you out a lot.
There's not much hockey here in Florida, though, Luke.
Yeah, that's a problem. We got the Panthers down south and the Lightning crossover on the Bay. But, no, whether it be baseball, football, basketball, play them all. Yeah, do it all.
Do it all, huh? That's for sure. At KPHLAX. Hi, Luke. Roomies with your best friend here. Please rank the Mighty Ducks movies.
Mighty Ducks movies. Wow. Well, obviously, you know, number one, the first movie, they're all, it's a comeback story, you know, that's like worst to first, and it's, you know, it's a tearjerker. But, after that, they win the gold medal. I mean, you gotta put that one up there, and, you know, it's a wash after that.
Yeah, I don't remember the other ones. I remember the first one. But I haven't seen
it. Well, they grow up, and then the Bash Brothers come in, and they're just smashing heads on the ice. That'd be a good transition to the NFL.
Really?
Right there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'll have to look into these. Are they on Netflix?
I'm sure. Probably everywhere. I'll get you a copy.
I appreciate that.
You have a VCR?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we can make it work.
That's right. Four heads and everything. It does slow-mo and all. Everything. It really does. Luke Boyko is with us. Jaguars.com live presented by EverBank. Final couple of moments here with you. Are you transitioned okay? I mean, this is, you're starting, you're playing all the time now, but is this what you expected coming in? Like, or has there been any surprises for you this year?
It's gone by fast. I think that's one of the biggest surprises. I was just talking to Josh Wells today, this morning, and to think that we only have 3 games left is wild, considering how many more games we've played now than in our college season. But it's been a blast. It's been a learning experience. You're starting to figure out a routine and how you can balance those kind of things. But, man, it's gone by fast, and, you know, these last 3 games you got to take advantage of.
Are you tired? Are you in good shape? I mean, how do you feel physically?
I did hit the snooze 1 or 2 extra times today. no, but you try to do all the cold tubs and the massages and just follow the, you know, the veteran lead, and it's been good. It is, you know, you find yourself in the weight room, you know, that last rep, you're like, well, that was a lot easier last week. But no, it's fun. It's a, you know, it's part of the grind.
We appreciate your time today, and good luck to you this week in Baltimore. Going back close to your home area.
Back home, man. I might have an entire pocket of Jags fans there.
We need all the help we can get in Baltimore, that's
exactly.
For sure. Hey, good luck to you, man.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Luke Boyko joining us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Celebrate the last home game with the biggest, boldest tailgate event of the year before the Titans-Jags game next Thursday. Features a live performance by J.J. Gray and Mofro, the Craft Beer Fest, and the best food trucks in Jacksonville, all during the NFL Network pregame show. For tickets, visit Jaguars.com or call 633-2000. Here we are, Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Final moments. The locker room is open to media right now. You heard from Blake Bortles a little bit earlier. Our thanks to John Osier for joining us, and certainly Luke Boyko, Jaguars center also. You'll hear from both coordinators today, Jed Fish and Bob Babich. We'll have those archived a little later on Jaguars.com. Player interviews coming up as well. Jags will be on the practice field until about 3 o'clock. And then Gus Bradley will speak to the media after practice for the first time in preparation for the Baltimore Ravens. We'll have that archived coming up too. Our thanks to everyone involved, and thanks to you for watching today. This is J.P. Shadrick from the Rubber Hallway at EverBank Field on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.